opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
For a close, got a man she could call to give a little peace. She even got a man who is saying
she got a man for everything.
By this got his problems. She got a man she could call anytime if she need a couple of dollars. She got a boatman who's come round here to bring a conch ship and lobster. She got one man who was cut, but he ain't no surgeon, he ain't no doctor. The average man is getting mad and say these women just love to swing. But the only reason you spending is cause you trying to get a little peace. Everybody know woman rate you by the income that you is bring. Either that or use the one she is called to bring round the thing.
She got a man for her nails.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 23rd of March, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Listen, that song was inspired by the Elevation Awards. Let's say congratulations to Johnny Cake for winning Male Artist of the Year, and I think he, along with Julian Believe, Shine, Zoltan Johnson. If I missed out another name, let me apologize. They won Song of the Year for Whip Wap. We got to say congratulations to Tonash. He won Traditional Song of the Year for Girl I Wanna. And we got to say congratulations to the one and only Naughty and his partner in crime. I want to make sure I get the name right. Kermit, Naughty's co-host is MJ, right? Right, Mrs. Naughty. Anyway, congratulations to the team at Naughty Show. Congratulations. They won Radio Talk Show of the Year at the Elevation Awards. The reason I started with this is because we got another big celebration. Devin Charlton. Devin Charlton, where's my notes? I could have sworn I took that story down. There we go. Charlton for the three-peat. Devin Charlton became the first woman to ever win three consecutive world indoor titles in the women's 60 meters hurdles on Sunday, tying her world record time of 7.65 seconds. At the 2026 World Athletics Indoor Championships in Poland. Denisha Cartwright was also in the race, and she finished tied for seventh in 7.90 seconds. Let's do a little math here. That's 25.25, just over 0.2 of a second slower. That ain't nothing at all. So, Denisha Cartwright, we say to you, congratulations as well. Two superstars. So, Tonash and Johnny Cake, now that y'all won Traditional Song of the Year, Male Artist of the Year, and Song of the Year, we need a song for Devin Charlton. I thought I would have had one floating around my inbox by this morning. We need a song for Devin Charlton, for she is the first woman to ever win three consecutive world indoor titles in the women's 60-meter hurdles. Also, I selected that song, Man for Everything, for this morning's conversation, because when you come through my neighborhood campaigning, I can let you know. I need a man for everything. Man is gender neutral. It could be a woman. Just once you could do everything. I think that should be the voters' campaign song this year. It's a choice between Man for Everything by Johnny Cake and The Whole Hog by Ofi and the Web Sites. Right, so we got lots in the headlines to talk about this morning. We had another traffic fatality. I heard a report of a second shooting. It took place allegedly, I think, early hours of Sunday morning. I've been looking through the papers. Oh boy, the stories. Police shooting. In fact, we see in today's Tribune, American shot dead by senior police officer. And then we have on Saturday, the 21st of March, 2026, police launched an investigation into a shooting incident that occurred on Sugar Apple Street, Pinewood Gardens, that left a 48-year-old male dead and a 26-year-old hospitalized. The story I read about this morning, I want to be careful because I don't see it yet in today's paper. There was allegedly an incident involving an off-duty police officer on Village Road South this weekend, which prompted me to talk about what it means to have authority vested in one's personage, right? What does it mean to have authority vested in you? But before that, I just want to talk about Montague Park. There was an event on Saturday night on Montague Park, I think, and patrons who attempted to use the park, maybe the event was yes, patrons who went to use the park this morning found it difficult to walk given the amount of garbage strewn all over the place and were terribly upset given the lack of facilities for garbage storage on the site. You know, what does it mean to have authority vested in you? What does it mean when you have rented a space to use, right? And then you are now in charge of that space. What does it mean to you, the event organizer, right? Like, if you rent a government facility and from the break, from the start, before you even begin setting up your event, you realize that the state agency responsible for managing the space that you are renting does not have sufficient garbage storage facilities for your event. What do you do next? Do you just say, oh, well, we pay taxes for them to pick up garbage anyway? Is that what you do? And let me ask another question. For the setup of the event, why was the equipment on the park also enclosed in the barrier for the event? Surely did you rent the play area? Did you rent that as well? Why did that need to be barricaded away from the public? What does it mean to have use of a public space? Anyway, we get lots to talk about this morning. Like I said, I'm a little cautious because I had hoped to see that story in today's paper, but I think I saw it on a broadcast from a local media house. I am going to search now for the story. It is troubling, right? Because both stories, this one that we're going to read, although it is not in today's Guardian, on the third page, police kill man on West Bay Street. A man was shot and killed by an off-duty officer on New Providence on Saturday evening. Police said the incident took place shortly before 6 p.m. at a business establishment on West Bay Street. According to police, the off-duty officer was at the business when an altercation began inside and continued outside. One of the men involved in the altercation allegedly entered his vehicle and, quote, drove it in a threatening manner toward the officer, close quotes. The officer, who said he was in fear of his life, drew his weapon and fired it at the driver, killing him. Police said the matter is under investigation. Full stop. End of article. Why does an off-duty officer have his weapon on him? That's the question I think people want to know. Why does an off-duty officer have a weapon while they're off-duty, not performing any official police duties? Why? Why are officers constantly being found with service weapons at establishments where people typically go to get intoxicated? Now, that could be an easy question to answer. Apparently, we have a police staff association, which enables police officers to work as security guards while they're not performing their official police duties. They work as security guards. So the question is, what is the authority vested in a police officer when he is not performing his official duties as a police officer, but is performing his duty as a security guard? And why does it appear that officer after officer after officer invokes the authority of a police officer when they're not performing police duties? Now, people like to say, well, an officer is always on duty. Do they behave like that? Generally? We have a culture where they really believe that if they take off the top, the tunic, and they just wearing pants with an undershirt, that they are out of uniform. You're still in uniform. You just improperly dressed. What is the staff association? If the Constitution or ordinary legislation prevents police officers from forming a union, what is the staff association? And can the staff association vest authority into off-duty officers that can only be vested in officers performing their official duty? So I found a ZNS headline. Police are on the scene of a police-involved shooting in the area of Montague Motors. Now that's Village Road. Well, maybe it used to be Village Road North. Maybe it is now Village Road South. In the break, I will continue to look for more coverage of that particular story. I don't think it's unreasonable to be concerned. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Sorry I missed you, caller. My apologies. Here's a text. Aaron, it seems police are using in fear of my life to kill people. If you kill someone in fear of your life, you would be in jail. Sickening. That seems to be a term used. And perhaps we need to interrogate that. Now, what we have learned over successive decades, right, is that police training, they train officers to inoculate the threat. See, we're going to get a lot of feedback from the state talking about best practices, world standards, what is reasonable and practice around the world. And I want to say this is not around the world. This is the Bahamas. This place has a particular dynamic that makes it different from many other places on the planet, which is a rich, vibrant and lustrous history and culture of being the counterculture from before Africans were on this island proper. The Saltwater Railroad ran through these islands, and enslaved people from the north would often find comfort and security taking the southern route away from American plantations. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Coming to you right now, caller. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, McGrain. I couldn't hear you. You know, the thing is, first thing I need to say, right? You know, I have a lot of police friends, you know. And so, you know, and encounters, you would come to the conclusion that some police officers are humane and some are inhumane, right? Because you saw the situation in Brittany Harris. But I want to get this in that nobody seems to be talking about, Ms. Green, as it relates to two young ladies being robbed and one escaped and one at gunpoint on East Street somewhere in Windsor Park area, and then the attempted abduction of a young lady somewhere in Lazaretto, wherever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so these things are very frightening for me as a mom of two daughters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a companion. So what I'm saying is, it hurts my heart to know that these things are not being highlighted when you have scumbags moving around with this barbaric type ideology or concept of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is so sickening for me, Ms. Green. I would like to see a law implemented for rape and robbery lifetime. And that might be an impediment to some of the barbarians you have walking around, you know, the dogs that they are, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I can't accept that. That's unacceptable for me because it caused me as a father to go and do something that I don't want to do. It's really, hey, God, oh, God, but as it relates to the police officers, you know, they're doing a great job. But the thing is, Ms. Green, there's no accountability with them. And so they have a problem with the blue wall of silence, the violence. Now, with me, I'm upset because you have a lot of let me tell you something. There are people calling the show very naive, talking about police officers are always on duty. You cannot juxtapose that with accountability. You cannot document that. But if you're on duty, so what? What I'm saying is you can be on duty, but you have to be accountable for your actions. So why are people so ignorant in their narratives? What does that have to do with giving account of what you said? So I would like to make a comment. The officer said that he was attacked with a cutlass. The fella chopped him and then he shot him. Why is it that he couldn't draw this weapon before that? Did he identify himself as a police officer? You see, many people live in ivory towers, praising false powers, and they make me sick. They have no idea. Another very important thing that I have seen over years in my little time in that area is that police officers deny emergency medical services access to suspects after they have shot them and after suspects are being shot, not even by them. I have seen it. We've seen it with the guy, the Jerome Six. We have seen it with Douglas, that's the Palmer,
and it was alleged. It was alleged that the same circumstance transpired in this recent Pike shooting.
Yeah, but I'm saying is, it's humane if you're an officer in a duty, you don't show any personal animosity where you assist the person that you have wounded. So I'm saying is, what makes it more worse is, I've seen instances, once you were calling here by Bambuchak decades ago, where an officer shot a guy. The car was on another guy, and they let him bleed. It just bleed out right there. I've seen incidents with Avery on off-print shots. Douglas. I've seen it with many suspects being shot, and they deny the ambulance workers to do their job. So the question for me then is, why would you do that when the person can help you investigate? So it leaves room for doubt as to why and where. This is this is a power that they don't deserve to have. Oh, my God. This is a sick...
This
is so pathetic, man.
Thank you. Thank you, 52. For me, then the question must be asked, are these isolated incidents, right, of officers who are not suitable for the force, whose behavior should be identified, and they should be facilitated moving away from the force into another sector of work, right? Or has this become a culture within the police force, that's B, or C, has culture become policy, unspoken policy within the police force? Because why are you off-duty police officer shooting people and then denying access for medical services or denying access for people who can provide life-saving medical services on the scene. See, I'm scared. Y'all are not paying attention to the so-called, the self-imposed leaders of the free world telling us they're preparing to reindustrialize the Western Hemisphere and the Global South. In the meantime, we have an administration that refuses to speak coherently to the behavior and cultures developing within the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I didn't grow to almost be 50. I can be honest with you. I didn't grow to almost be 50 trying to be a good citizen, listening to day after day the police are my friends messaging, to have almost every encounter with police officers have you feeling like you on the brink of being arrested because you're trying to tell them something. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I am good, thank you.
Awesome. Just pertaining to these two police incidents that would have occurred, I guess, within 48 hours. There is that narrative out there that a police officer is always on duty. And that is something that we have become to accept. We have also, it was also
no, but sir, Jeff, we can't come to accept that because if they're always on duty, there cannot be a police staff association assigning jobs or that enables police officers to take off-duty jobs. You cannot have both. And it's we're experiencing a collective functional illiteracy if we can't walk through that. You cannot always be on duty if you can also take up off-duty work.
Well, the sad part about that, Aaron, is that that is the culture that has been created. And until that culture is corrected, then what we see going on now is the reality. You know, the thing is, too, the weapons, as far as the police force is concerned, I know back then it was the understanding that the service revolvers are turned in once they are technically off duty, which means off schedule, and they go on to their private lives or whatever.
And let's stick a pin just for a second.
Okay.
And if, for whatever reason, you were not required to turn in your service weapon, or you have been authorized to carry a personal weapon, why would you carry it out to an event at a concert or at a park? And if you were authorized to carry a personal weapon for reasons like threats to your life, right? Why would you be going to an event like that? And why would you be walking a significant distance to wherever your destination is or your vehicle?
Well, I believe that the question that is being posed along with the others that is about to come, you know, these are questions that the Royal Bahamas Police Force hierarchy will have to give to the public. But I'm telling you, right now, as it stands, the perception that has been painted out here for quite some time is, like I said, a police officer is always on duty. And then in fear of their lives, you got to understand, even with that weapon, they're trained a particular way. They're not going to shoot you in the leg or the foot or whatever. They are trained to shoot the chest, the head, and in other words, shoot to kill. You know, it is sad that this is the reality, but then, you know, only those policies can be changed if it is a policy or if there are policies that has to be addressed and changed by the hierarchy and the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
I get you. Listen, I got two more.
My final point here before I go and before you stick up in here.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Aaron, I'm sending out an appeal as a pilot. You know, sending out an appeal to BTC in particular because it is a cell tower out there at Fire Trail Road and Gladstone Road. They have a tall tower there with the anti-collision lights basically indicating height and especially for the aviation community. those rights have noticeably been out now from my view almost 2 weeks now.
I got
and
you.
I'm trying to figure out if they are aware that those rights are out,
mm-hmm.
or if there's an issue with the platform that they have out there.
So
I think that needs to be addressed right away.
I got you. Here's what you're going to do. Please call the SCAB, Civil Aviation Association of the Bahamas, or uh-huh. agency. Call CAB. You search it. Start with Civil Aviation Bahamas, and it'll come
yeah.
up. Call them and alert them. Thank
okay.
you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, sis.
Absolutely. Thank you. Let's go to the next caller. You're coming right now. Good morning, caller. Good.
Hey.
Good morning.
Aaron.
Hi.
Yeah, good morning, man. Very provocative show this morning. Aaron, it's people killed on the weekend.
I'm sorry, you have broken up entirely.
But I just hope that those incidents are used to tighten up the protocols in the police force and the armed forces.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's still some gray areas. The fact we discussed this morning means that's a gray area.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm just hopeful that the police commissioner and her team and then the defense force commander and his team and, you know, would tighten up their protocols or rules of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 2026, we need to be further along.
Yes, sir.
I mean, but it's very sad, the people who got killed,
mm-hmm.
Who lost their lives on the weekend, you know what I mean? It's very sad, but I just have a protocol so the police will have clear rules of engagement when
mm-hmm.
things like this present itself, okay?
I got
great
you.
Show, though.
Thank you. See me? You could call me a sissy right now, because I'm concerned. And you know why I'm concerned? I'm concerned because I am a sissy. Right? Because where do we sit on the totem pole? Where do we, the sissies, sit on this totem pole, this hierarchy of value? Let's go to the phone line.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. First of all, it's unfortunate in all both of those incidents and so forth. But as the previous, and based on the act, as it relates to it governs the police department,
mm-hmm.
The police officer is never considered to be off duty. That's the act itself.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the fundamentals of the police organization, allowing them to now go out and work and all of that, that was one of the fundamental reasons why a B.K. Barnaby never really agreed for officers to go out and work private functions, because it was almost a legal conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But technically and legally, a policeman is never considered to be off duty. That's
mm-hmm.
point number one. Point number two, I don't know what I know quite likely if I was brandishing a firearm and I read into an altercation as it relates to what was happening on Village Road. I don't know the full extent of what happened,
mm-hmm.
but again, anytime you draw a firearm, you're not drawing a firearm to maim. That's just the fundamental practice and principle and training. You're not drawing your firearm to aim or to shoot in the air or any such thing as that.
Mm-hmm.
You're drawing your firearm when it's a life and death threatening situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's the situation every time, but that's the fundamental training across not only the Bahamas, but universally for law enforcement. See, because you can't determine exactly always where a bullet is going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people always talk about you can shoot a warning shot and all that. Yeah, but don't forget, that bullet got to come down somewhere.
Yeah, you have to justify the use of every bullet.
That's what I'm saying.
Every
That's
use of the weapon, yes, sir.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know the full extent of both stories, but I know the fundamental practice is the fact that a policeman is never considered off duty, because if he sees something, let's say he's off the clock,
mm-hmm.
but he's never considered. Do you expect him not to act? Failure to act, that's also disciplinary situation that he finds himself in.
Here's a question I have for you. Perhaps you may be aware. Are officers mandated by law or required by policy to take a breathalyzer test for alcohol or other tests for other substances when they're involved in a shooting?
As far as I'm aware, I do not think so. I don't know if any policy changes have taken place as it relates to that, but it would be a good suggestion. But as far as I'm aware, I've never really heard about it.
Personally. I got you. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. And we're going to proceed with caution with this conversation. Like I said, we're asking pointed questions. The broad discussion is about what does it mean to have authority vested in you. And since we are on our journey to the general election, this is also an important question for people vying to be MPs and cabinet ministers. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
And you don't have to put a disclaimer off for me. I'll be responsible.
Yes, sir. It's for me, really. It's for me.
But anyhow, Aaron, on a more serious note, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have had countless, too much of these type of similar incidences involving, you know, and concerning these police involved killing. I wouldn't even call them shooting. Killing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know about a particular incident where this gentleman, he was hanging by a bar, and an incident happened. He went around there, and before you know it, the officer's dead. I mean, the police, the civilian is dead, you know. But I was going to ask you that question, Aaron, about whether or not they take breathalyzer tests. You see, the police, we all need the police, Aaron. And this isn't to embarrass the police or to come down on the police, but we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We have a problem. And I believe that when you issue, if you are allowed to carry a gun on you 24/7, you should not be going into no club to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a policy position.
Mm-hmm.
Because you put yourself, especially if you're drinking, yourself in a compromising position.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't even exercise. Execute your duty is good if you're in and something happens. And then you're going to respond. You're going to be, I mean, could you go to work and drink?
No.
They say these officers are off duty. They're off duty. So,
you're
on off duty. What are you doing, what you doing getting involved in police work?
Yeah.
You can't go to work drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go to work drunk. I can't go to work with alcohol on my breath.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't tell me you're off duty, but you're still acting in the capacity as a police. It makes no sense to me in these cases, police involved shootings. Now, the reality of this matter is an American was shot. Let's see how this one plays out.
I hear you.
And let's see if a president is going to be set after the coroner's inquest and after you have a trial. And if a president is being set where the police has been found wanting, then perhaps this is the avenue that we'll take in respect to the countless of young men
mm-hmm.
who have been gunned down by the police. I had a neighbor, Azario Major. His family is still waiting. I remember when that boy born, you know, but
mm-hmm.
his family is still waiting for justice. And I can name you a few others, you know, but that's one that stands out in my mind because it's so close to home. You know,
mm-hmm.
but we cannot continue this kind of practice without having a particular policy. No police should be allowed to go into no bar to go hang out if they're off duty with a gun in their beak. And, you know, especially if they're drinking.
Right.
It shouldn't happen.
Because
you should call for backup if anything.
I assume.
You shouldn't be the one getting involved.
That's it right there. Backup. We all watch the movie. Backup. Call for backup. Listen, we go into a break. When we come back from the break, there's a text. Police officers are governed by the Police Act. The Police Act includes a section called failing to act. A police officer who is in his own clothes and observed an offense in his view and he does nothing to circumvent it, he can be charged for neglect of duty and or failing to act. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Damned if you are in a bar drinking when your job is 24/7. See, that's it right there. Police officers supposed to behave like judges. Recuse yourself from common life. That's why we got barracks. We're going to a break. You on the clock with Aaron Sissy Green. We'll be right back.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bala Boy on his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh. you don't want bullet hair. You say that. You know, she always say that's my good child.
So what are you doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want to find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas. Then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is definitely the time for BAMSI to continue to build on the progress that we've made. There's now drone technology. There's now year-round container farming. You have hydroponics. You have aquaponics. You have precision farming. There have been record numbers of enrollments, record numbers of flat fishing certifications. We've had record enrollments in our online courses, students from across the family of islands. Because in BAMSI, we are not just cultivating produce, we're cultivating producers.
Paid for by the PLC.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate financial goals into perfect harmony with financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The following is a paid political message.
Out to Kalani. Here for you. See everybody in Kalani. Change is here. Hey, hands in the air. See everybody in Kalani. Vote for Madiba. She is a fighter.
That was a paid political message. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.
Candy looks so good. I would drink you like rum. Pour you all over my tongue. Beautiful.
Girl, I wanna hold you like a cup of any. Lick you like food so sound. Slam you like God. Love you like Christmas bonus. Squeeze you like my last dollar.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Yeah, see? When you're on the fringes of society, when society has told you you're not normal like the rest of us, you don't belong in the spaces with the rest of us, when you have been, not hierarchicalized, but when you have been placed on the totem pole, stories like this begin to concern you greatly. See, I can't tell you all the number of times that people have threatened my life or grievous bodily harm to me because of my, not just my public stance, just because of my public presence sometimes. But let's go to the phone line, producer. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Yeah. Now, you know, we could condemn the police. Anything happened to one of us, we can call them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, take for instance, everybody banging on the one, what happened down out west.
Mm-hmm.
But here it is. If that police officer didn't have his gun this morning, he might have been dead. A fella come up with a cutlass, attack him. You know what he talking about, that one.
No, we talking about it. I want to say, let's talk about it, right? If you would... Here's my thing. How are you behaving at the event to cause somebody to want to do that to you? And if this is something that arose from something that happened outside of the event, why are you on the park with people? It's the police who's tell us if you have conflict, don't be going around people so they could be drawn accidentally into your conflict. I agree with you. I agree with you. Let's be cautious. Right? I don't want to say let's be conservative, but let's be open and balanced, right? Let's be open and balanced. But what you doing going to a concert that with a service weapon that requires you to walk a significant distance from the venue to your parking, to where you parked?
Okay. Yes, again. Let's say you're walking. And a robber come, because there was an incident the other day in fact with God and Red, a fellow. The police went to do his morning wake out, and the guy said, you know, try to rob him or something. But he had his gun, and he got to kill one. So, you know, we got to look at all these different scenarios with these people and the gun, and the police with the gun.
Why isn't there a gym at the barracks, or why aren't there gyms set up at police stations across the island that police officers could use without having to interact with the general public? That's why we have barracks. That's why they got the Defense Force barracks. That's why they got all kind of activity and thing you could do at the Defense Force barracks. That's why they got the commissary at the Defense Force barracks.
Yeah, okay. Listen to my point now.
Okay.
A robber, like the woman them got hold of the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I think but there you go. And the fella hold up the ladies, them take the car. Now, a police could have been passing him off duty, but he got a weapon with him. So, you know, and now the other one passing, he don't have no weapon. What you want him to do, you know, the one with the weapon, what he supposed to do? Let the fella rob the woman then?
Take the details of the vehicle, call for backup. So you're telling me the police
got a weapon?
Let's not go any further, because I don't want to say out loud that you think the police feel like ordinary citizens feel when the question arises of, will police come when I call? Because the issue with this story, woman kidnapped and sexually assaulted, police say, is the question of, do we have sufficient patrols? Given what we are aware of, let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Sorry, I missed you. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm doing great. You know, I want to start off by saying, you know, me, personally, I love you just the way you are.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you.
Don't
thank
change
you.
A thing.
Thank you.
Okay, what I wanted to say with the police, we're talking about the fact that the off-duty police had his weapon with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But why aren't we also discussing what in the world a man doing with a cutlass in his car that hour tonight? What was he up to with that cutlass?
I mean, the cutlass live in the car.
Sure, live in the car. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So what is he doing with his weapon?
Yeah, no.
At that hour of the night?
That's
the first thing. Hold on. Sorry, we'll finish. And I hang up and listen.
All right.
And the second thing with that, too, is, you know, a lot of people have problems. You know, when I used to do training, I used to ask them, how do your attitude affect the next person, the way you speak to them?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if the police and this group is walking, the guy in the car driving in the opposite direction, he would have drove towards them in a particular manner, why the police had to say something to him. And, you know, some people drive around with anger problems. So he probably got out of the car because he could have drove off.
I agree with you. The person was in the car. They can't cry, oh, I was in fear of my life. Well, hit the gas and keep driving.
Exactly. So obviously, he was the one who provoked the situation because he took his cutlass and come out of the car. And made a situation worse.
We don't know when the interaction began. You see what I'm saying? We don't know.
That's
but
true.
What you say
true.
Is correct. If you were in a car, you hit gas and leave the scene until you feel safe. drive exactly. straight to the police station and exactly. report what you observed or what happened to you. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I agree
so
with
I
you.
Mean, I hear a lot of talking about the police and what they do or how they do it. I understand that, and because they are the law, they are more highly held. You know, so I understand what you're saying. However, we also need to look at the other person and mm-hmm. see what they could have done differently to prevent mm-hmm. what happened of happening.
I appreciate what you're saying. Let's go to the next caller, and then we're going to get to the text. Good morning. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Hey, let me ask you a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think that the police need to start reviewing the use of rubber bullets as a primary
Listen,
weapon?
Listen, do you remember when the commissioner of police said that they were currently actively involved in interrogating the question of whether they could ask for less than lethal weapons? We're still waiting for the status of that conversation or whether it actually happened. And the body cameras, right? Now, you can see, I don't want people to start using the term off-duty to indicate that we should not expect body camera footage. If you are carrying your service weapon, you should be required to have body camera on. You shouldn't be allowed to carry a service weapon out of a station without your body camera on.
Okay, second thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you can refer to yourself as Sissy, right?
I mean, technically.
Could you please put a name tag on it and say, I am not from Fox Hill?
Pardon me? You must he don't want to be from Fox Hill. You must he don't want to be from Fox Hill.
What do you tell you?
You must he don't want to be from Fox Hill. Because that's what I am. And I'm also scared. Because that's what I am. In a society that has told me that I am nothing. Right? We have to be very, very concerned about how we generally hierarchical people, how we put them in a hierarchy of value. Right? These are the questions and the conversations that people were trying to have when the incident occurred with the prison officers shooting the dog in its yard. Right? That's why they wanted to have those conversations. Because what is the value that you place on that life before you take it? Anyway, I thank you very much, caller, for your call and your contribution. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Here's the thing I think is most important to acknowledge. Only the police could police the police. Yeah? Only the police could police the police. So I can appreciate and I expect to get backlash from my commentary today. I expect it, right? But only the police could police the police. So it's incumbent for the good police to begin policing the police. Of course, we do not believe that all police are bad. We do not believe that all police are reckless. We do not believe that all police are gun happy. But I can't police the police. Only police can police the police. And they will only be able to do it if they get out of their feelings and understand that critical interrogation is required and should be expected. Now, at the same point, within that critical interrogation, we will acknowledge that we do not take care of our police officers. And we do not have sufficient psychosocial services for their support. Yeah? We can acknowledge that. But we also must acknowledge that police stop obeying police traffic controls. They have stopped. Let's go to the text line. Aaron, I listened to your lament and landlord song, What This World Is Coming To, comes to my mind. Please listen to the words in that song. There's another text. But the individual attack. Okay. Thank you for the texter. Here we go. Aaron, it seems police is always on duty is just a saying, not a literal thing. People like Jeff, I think, believes it's true. It's like when you hear something so much, you just believe it. What's wrong with these people? Don't they hear all over the world about off-duty officers? Do they get paid 24/7? Listen, what happens all around the world does not necessarily happen here. And the question is, what does the law prescribe? See, the staff association can exist in contradiction to, right? In contravention of the Police Act and the Constitution. You have to take the legislation that empowers the Police Staff Association for judicial review or before the courts and say, we think that this is wrong and it needs to be changed. Here are the parts and here are why. That's what you have to do, right? But it says, come on now, Ms. Green, you saying let's be balanced, but you're suggesting that the officer had to overdone something to cause that male to attack him, air on the side of caution. You know, I was there, like the caller said. If he wasn't armed, he could have likely been killed. No, the point that I made was, if you are aware of existing conflict, particularly due to your job, why would you be out in that way? That's the point that I made. That's the end of the text line. So I just want to read this headline. This is what 52 was talking about. Woman kidnapped and sexually assaulted, police say. A New Providence woman was kidnapped and sexually assaulted by a man on Saturday night, police said. Police said the incident began on DeVoe and East Street shortly after 10:30 p.m. when two women were accosted outside a business by a gunman. He forced the women into their vehicle, but one of them was able to escape. The man demanded cash from the woman who was still in the vehicle and then instructed her to drive to various locations while he stole items from the car and demanded electronic voucher transfers as a form of extortion. Afterwards, he took the woman to a secluded area on Wolf Road near Collins Avenue where he sexually assaulted her. Police tracked the woman to Ragged Island Street, but as officers closed in on the vehicle, the man exited and ran away. Police said the investigation into the matter is ongoing. Yeah, cyber crimes unit, if there was an electronic voucher transfer, if it took place, there you go. You start the investigation right there. Tomorrow, we got an exciting show for you. Other things I wanted to talk about today, but we did not get to. Bastion to step down as Island Luck CEO. I wonder why. Cabinet spot looking good. Have you read Article 73, 1A of your Constitution yet? I recommend that you give it a read. It's in the, I think, the executive chapters, either Chapter 5 or Chapter 6. I think it's Chapter 5. Article 73, 1A. Read that. When you pick up your Nassau Guardian and read Bastion to step down as Island Luck CEO. It's like a companion read. I hope you all enjoy it. Oh, one last note. Only the police could police the police. We're relying on the good police to police the police. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Oh, congratulations, Naughty. And to C.A. Newry for being nominated along with Z Live, with Lang, Morning Blend, with Strawn. You guys are doing it. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Slam you like God, oh. Love you like Christmas bonus. Squeeze you like my last dollar. Kiss you like who was good.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.